Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
The last international break out of the way, Josh. I've played my wild card, and the rest is all downhill from here, right?
Yeah, it's not even that it's downhill. It's like literally downhill. It's like picking up momentum and heading towards the end of the season. Like, everything moves so quickly from now on. Even the Champions League matches are like a week apart now. It's like everything is very sped up. So let's talk about your wild card, though. Let's get right into it, Brandon. It's Sunday night. I've got a little bit of a head cold, I think, right now. So sorry if I sound a little more nasal than normal. But I'm also from the Midwest, so I sound kind of nasal no matter what.
Absolutely. The flat A sound.
Exactly. This is the American Midwesterner's dilemma. So you played your wild card. This was, I don't know if it's like the rise of Twitter or the social media or what, but it felt like my feed was just full of, like, you know, the Always Cheating feed was just full of complicated, like, extremely difficult to resolve wild card related questions, right? It was it was like everyone was like a graduate student in math, like the way they were like working this stuff out.
Well, and everyone's situation was just slightly different. There were just so many variables which played into how much chatter there was, because everyone had a very bespoke question.
Right. Except I felt like by the end, by the time like Friday night rolled around, it felt like everyone had the exact same team. I mean, I think your team actually looks a little bit different, so I do want to talk about that in a second. But do you think that, like, swayed you a little bit? Did you think, when you were, like, playing your wild card, did you just want the best team, or was there part of you that was like, I also want to be a little different than everybody else?
I don't really have that in me, the desire to be different. Mm-hmm. I pretty much always want the best team. However, mm-hmm. There are players like Kevin De Bruyne is a good example, a guy I've loved talking about this season. And it's not like no other FPL managers knew about KDB or were talking about him. But I was one of the few that actually had him and was building my midfield around him.
Right. So
I think there are players, and we can talk about them with my wildcard team, where I think I like them a little bit more. Say, I went with Pat, for example, I went with Pascal Gross over Willian. Mm-hmm. More or less because I just like Gross. I wanted him more in my team than Willian. Mm-hmm. There was no pen hitting paper for me to figure that one out.
Very good chance. I think Gross almost had an assist, too, in that Leicester game.
There was a very nice Kasper Schmeichel save from a Gross shot from outside of the box. Yeah. So he was looking to score.
Great game in
score
general.
Points.
Yeah, great game in general for Schmeichel. I mean, I guess I should say there was a template for me. Template does not always mean it's the best possible team, but there definitely was a template that formed by the end. A very similar set of players. And, you know, it's not like you didn't have any of those players. You probably had, you know, nine of the same 11 starting players as a lot of other people did. But it definitely made me want to, like, get into the upcoming game weeks, get into game weeks where, this is like maybe like a little like retrograde of me, but I would actually be fine if they went back to the wild card being restricted to January, the second wild card, which is how it used to be. Because I don't know that it's like, but again, like, we're talking about a small community of like super serious managers here, so it's not reflective maybe of the FPL players as a whole, but it just felt like everyone had the same team, you know. And I mean, talk to me, I mean, you know, how did you feel about that? I mean, is that, I guess I'm just like, I feel like I'm interviewing you right now, but I'm just like, I know for me, like, if I were wildcarding this week, I would have been, and again, we have different personalities in this regard, but mm-hmm. I would have been very conscious of wanting 3, 4, 5 players that, like, very few people had in their templates, just because I hate feeling like I'm, like, marching in the same order as everybody else, you know, just often for my own detriment.
Maybe I'll put a little more positive spin on the online chatter and the template talk. As much as it felt like there was a template forming, there is no set front three. And for all the talk I did see online, everyone's team had at least one different player, something different going on.
Yeah.
I was a fan of all of the chat going on because when I was fiddling around with my wild card, because every single person's take on it helped me make a different decision on my own team. Right. And it was less me trying to replicate what somebody else was trying to do, but see the logic there. Oh, you have this player because, I see they, you know, they have a double, for example.
Right.
So just seeing all those different takes on the same sort of template helped me get to where I ended up with my wild card.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. How do you feel about your team coming out of you finished on was it 64 points?
Yeah, 64 points. Four less than you, though. You took a minus four hit, but we'll get to your team shortly. How do I feel about it? I feel really good. I think I played the wild card as best I could. If you end up with goals from all three of your strikers out of your wild card, I think that's a success.
I feel like Ashley Barnes and Lukaku score within like 5 minutes of each other too. Half for sure.
At that point, I felt like maybe I had played the greatest wild card of all time. But of course, the moment that I think that thought, things definitely started to even out. So after I've played my wild card, I took a step back and I said, nice work, Brandon. I think that looks pretty good. And then I started to step even farther back and I'm like, dude, you have three Burnley players. Is this a good strategy? So the trick with this wild card is going to be how quickly and effectively can I turn Burnley players into, you know, all the best players on Manchester City before game week 37.
It should be easy to do, right? Same price points and everything.
Yeah. But I think the switch really flipped for me when I was tinkering and this goes back to our discussion about the chatter going on online. I started to come around to the idea of bench boosting in game week 34, because what I was trying to do was build the best possible team for both 34 and 37. And what I was ending up with was with a team that was just a hot mess. Right. And I think we can talk about this to some of the questions later in the pod. To plan all the way for 37 with the expectation that no injuries are going to happen or just things you don't expect is kind of crazy.
Right.
So I feel like you...
Yeah, it has felt at times like games 32, 33, 35, 36, and 38 like don't exist, you know? Like,
yeah,
there's like five game weeks that no one is talking about, you know, like I felt like everyone is so focused on the doubles. But I mean, you know, these other game weeks could be, you know, massive as well. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Because I remember that I think when you first posted your team Friday morning, it ended up like quite a bit different, I'd say, by the end of the day.
It did. And I think it was just not a real team that I posted. There was not as much flexibility, and Vardy was in that team I posted to Twitter, and ultimately I felt that having Mahrez was good enough cover, such as it is for Leicester City. Why did I feel the need to double up with Mahrez and Vardy? Because that was blocking me from bringing in a guy like Alonso and having Lukaku and Aubameyang up front. Right. So those are always the hardest decisions with your wild card. Who are the one or two guys that you really want that you just have to part ways with? Vardy was a guy that I wanted that ultimately I just couldn't keep. Firmino was a guy for a long time I wanted to keep, but ultimately, just thinking about these Champions League fixtures that are coming up for Liverpool and City and really letting that sink in, I was like, okay, yeah, Firmino, gone, no problem.
It's a little scary. You know, I currently have three Liverpool players. It's a little, you know, I'm actually, you know, it's interesting because I'm definitely holding them for, I'm not going to transfer any out because, you know, all three of them play in game week 35. I'm actually wondering now if that game week 34, the home match to Bournemouth, is going to be a big rest fixture for them. You know, I think that, you know, Mo Salah and Firmino, and I don't want to get too like into the next part of the podcast, but, you know, Mo Salah and Firmino played the full 90 away to Palace, certain to play, you know, something like the full 90 in the first leg to Man City. And then they play, you know, they have a derby match, you know, versus Everton on Saturday morning. So,
And Klopp got some backlash from the fans for not playing a full strength squad against Everton earlier this season. Yeah. I think he's going to want to give the Liverpool faithful something enjoyable to watch.
So if that happens, then, you know, in game week 30, And then they have the second leg of the Man City game. And so, and then you have game week 34. So it could, you know, that's four games in however many days that is, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, 10 days or something like that. So, I mean, and then home to Bournemouth, that just seems like an ideal time to rest some of your players. So, you know, something to keep in mind if you're loaded up and you're not, I don't know, like if you're not playing your bench boost or something like that, or if you didn't wild card, you know, and you're still holding a lot of different players. So, I finished on 68. I burned four on a defender, which I almost never do. I mean, like, because it never works, you know, like ever. And, you know, it actually did work out in this case. I dumped Cedric, who I just like has done nothing for me. And I'm planning to free hit chip in game week 34 anyway. So I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't need him for the double, you know. I mean, it's not even that good of a double anyways, right? It's Chelsea and Leicester. So I dumped Cedric for Mustafi. Cedric finished on one. Mustafi was finished on eight. If I hadn't played one of those guys, I would have played Leighton Baines, who finished on one, too. So regardless, I picked up 3 points. Biggest mistake I made was leaving Milivojevic on the bench and starting Theo Walcott instead. And Walcott is just, I mean, he's just so worthless against a good team. You know, I mean, he's such a finesse
player.
Well,
the whole Everton team is worthless, I'd say.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly. So he's still probably going to stay in my squad because I am bench boosting in game week 34. And he has a home fixture against Newcastle in 35. So I think I'm just going to throw him on the bench for this Liverpool match. Milivojevic, I mean, my, you know, the problem there was it's that, that like warp thinking you get into sometimes where I was playing Van Dijk in that Palace game and it was like, I wanted to maximize my points, you know, like in this, you know, so it was the bad, like, I wonder if I hadn't played Van Dijk, would I have started Milivojevic, you know, like, I, you know, so it's that, like, you want the perfect 11, you know?
Yeah, I did the same thing in my squad. I brought in Wes Morgan as my Leicester defensive coverage and I put him last on my bench because I just assumed that Pascal Gross was, you know, gonna put a crazy hat trick.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing was I went back and forth between Aubameyang and Salah. In the end, I just felt like Salah was the logical pick there. So yeah, I feel like I can't complain about 68 or I guess 64 when you take away the 4 points. So it was good. I moved up about 30,000 spots. So I'm getting back to where I want to be. You know, I'm sort of, you and I are only 7 points apart now.
Yeah, no, it's 7 or 9 points. I think
yeah,
it's splitting hairs.
Right.
Yeah, nice to see a green arrow after a wild card. Wild cards can be tricky because they can sometimes take a couple game weeks to really settle in. But
yeah, you and I actually we watched the games together on Saturday night. I wonder in hindsight if that was a good idea because when you're watching your own team after a wild card, you're very focused. You know, like it's like a very. You really like a lot of planning has gone into this game week. You know, for me, it was like a fairly normal week. I made my transfers, but I wasn't on a wild card. I kind of knew where I stood. And I just, you know, it's like you want everything to go really well after a while, you know? And so it's like, you don't really want, like, maybe if I had also been on my wild card, it would have been like, I don't know, but it was like, it was kind of like I was watching that Man United game and I was kind of stressing out the whole time because all I had was De Gea and you had Lukaku. I mean, Lukaku should have had, at least like two goals in that game?
Yeah, he had one that was clear. He was clear in. The ball dropped very nicely for him. And we both, next to each other, said, that's a goal before he kicked it.
Yeah.
Fabianski comes out and makes an amazing save to smother it. But yeah, Yeah, it was nice to get that goal right away so I didn't have to do the watch Lukaku leisurely stroll around the pitch right, and make me angry sort of thing.
Yeah, and then finally score and not celebrate or whatever. so you were tense because you were on your wild card team. I was tense because I didn't have a wild card and like all I could see were all the things that could go wrong. You know, it's like a week when everyone's wild carding or like, I know in the end it was only a couple hundred thousand, but like I think every person who wild carded had a Twitter feed, right? And they were like all posting this week. So I felt, you know, and like you listen to these podcasts, like everyone was wild carding. So it was that, you know, like I feel like when those game weeks happen and you don't have your wild card, you're just kind of bracing yourself, you know, like you're really like you're waiting for the worst. But, you know, Ben Chilwell was the player. There was a moment, like a 5-minute stretch there where Peter Schmeichel made the save and then Leicester scored and Ben Chilwell got the assist on that goal, and he ended up on 11 points. And I think that was really the biggest difference for me. That was the Chilwell points. Still having Raheem Sterling in my squad. You know, a lot of people took him out on the wild card. Getting that 7 points from him, like, that's nothing to complain about either. You know, so The biggest issue is I actually kind of wish I would have burned 8. And dropped Callum Wilson as well. I know he has a fixture in Game Week 35, but he's really taking up space right now. He is.
Yeah. Who were you thinking of bringing in for him?
I was actually thinking about Troy Deeney, who also has a fixture in 35. You know, again, because I'm free hit shipping, I don't have to worry about 34 quite as much. So I could have brought Deeney in for his good run of fixtures. I mean, Watford's run is pretty solid, right? I mean, it's they play Bournemouth, Burnley. I was looking at the game at 33 here. They play Burnley, Huddersfield, Palace in the next three. So even as like a short-term three-week punt, I kind of like that. I might still do that actually going into this game week. So in the end, you know, I would have burned 4. I don't think Deeney picked up any points, so I actually would have lost points on that. The player I was really thinking about was Mahrez for Walcott. And that actually would have cost me, I guess, 3 points. So the rare moment when a defensive transfer, I mean, part of it was I just, you know, and I also knew who I was playing in our mini league head to head. And so I felt like I had I could burn 4 and kind of get away with it. I was like, you know what? I know that I want an Arsenal defender for this run of fixtures. I'm just going to do it now. And just, I don't like any of my defensive options. I feel really good about their clean sheet chances. And they actually almost conceded, right? I mean, like inside of the post this morning, I don't know if you saw that, off a corner kick. Yeah. So, we almost lost that.
Almost in Olympico.
Do you think he should have had an assist? I don't know about that one. That was really, I feel like if you
Mustafi?
Yeah. On the side. Yeah. I do kind of feel like if you give Son the assist, you should give Mustafi the assist as well, right? Like,
yeah, I thought that was strange that there was no assist given on that goal at all.
Yeah, I thought it did feel like someone, it was either Chambers or Mustafi, did head that ball on, like whether they intended to or not. But then Son picks up an assist, and that ball touched about 8 defenders. I'm exaggerating, but touched like 3 defenders. It was rallying all over the place. Like 4 players touched that before that was a goal. So, I was a little surprised he got the assist there, but, whatever.
Yeah. Well, if you want to take a look at my wild card team, you can just go to the about page on alwayscheating.com. We have links there to our teams and you can check it out there. But, my only problem coming right out of the wild card is Goodmanson, who's now has a knock, but right. I have to believe that he's going to be healthy for when I need him in game week 34. Otherwise, shout out to Tom Campbell. Jack Cork is on his way into my squad.
All right. So let's talk quickly about the Always Cheating Super League. I'm going to run through the top 10 myself this week, Brandon. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here I go. The Juan Matas, Dave Lamb. And 10th, D-Boy United. D-Boy back in the top 10. Congratulations, D-Boy. 2 girls, 1 schlup. Andrew Ferguson moves down to 8th. Bodios, Adrian Falk, Revdal in 7th. Gam, Chester United, Graham McDonald in 6th. Tough week for Graham, Brandon. 48 points. You have any words of, consolation for him? Or just going to...
Chin up, Graham.
Yeah,
there you go. Keep at it.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Graham. Yeah. Don't be so...
You're a good man, Graham.
Don't be so down on yourself, Graham. Cruise Control, Steve Sunshine in 5th. For Fuxake, Are You Blind? Joe Stone in 4th. I never know how to say that name. Heaton, I mean, I know how to say it, but I never know how to say it on this podcast. It's a family podcast. Heaton up, Aaron Matheson in 3rd with 82 points. Crazy Coutinho, Prakhar Patel in 2nd with 63. And Jamal Rice with 73 points. And what is his overall rank in the world now?
Jamal is now ranked 7th overall in the world.
Congrats, Jamal. So what is your – give us some advice, Jamal. What are you doing right and what are we all doing wrong? 7th in the world. Damn.
I know. It's huge.
Yeah. And we're also going to run off the Patreon top fives this week.
Yeah. I'll start with the – so our Patreon supporters who generously help support what we do here for free, for all you listeners here at alwayscheating.com, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating if you want to participate in these Patreon exclusive leagues. And every once in a while, I think it's good just to give these people their due on the pod. Mm-hmm. So the classic league for the Patreon subscribers, it's in 5th place. Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Conte Hardly Wait, 4th place. Spandex, Cameron Spanner, Third place, Jeremiah Johnson, deputy mayor of our Slack thread. his team name, Lookman Ayuake.
These are very not sure I get that much. Yeah, come on, Jeremiah. If we can't save a podcast, you know, it's time for a change.
Second place, it's Fahad Al-Takar, Cortuba FC. And in first place, Mark McGettigan. And that's the FPL General, actually. So FPL General is a big presence online. Great to have him as a supporter.
Yeah, he. We actually still haven't met him. We've talked about doing a podcast with him at some point, but he seems like a very good guy, and he's
top
also,
bloke.
Yeah, top bloke, and he's also a Patreon supporter. So thank you very much. And if it's good enough for the General. It's good enough for you. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brendan, when you and I were having our very tetchy soccer watching on Saturday morning, sorry, I'm trying to speak over that siren. There's always a siren in the background of your place. I don't know why that is.
somebody made a comment somewhere that ours is the one pod FPL podcast where you can hear a car being stolen in the background. Exactly. So yet another Grand Theft Auto happening on Always Cheating.
Yeah, and so we're planning on some exclusive content based on the World Cup for our Patreon supporters. So more to come on there. Brendan, I'll also read off, we have a second half league that we started as well. The top five in that is, it's all people who are pretty big commenters, actually, on the Slack thread. Jim Payne, Rock Me Like a Hurricane in fifth. Triple Captain, Adam P. in fourth. Ian Stimson, who he's kind of the reason we're even talking about Patreon in this week's podcast, because he was like, come on, guys, let's get a shout out here. He was like a little like humble brag, like just so you know, I'm in the top five, you know, but
yeah, we got it, Ian. Thanks.
Spinach, Guy Dar in second, and Tom Bakel's Jan Spernagy is in first. So sorry, Jan. I know you're a longtime listener, and sorry I messed up your name there. So congrats to all. Brendan, do we have any rants this week?
Yeah, we have a rant this week. It comes in from Roscoe77, who says, is this season over yet? Wild card fail, every week sadness. Morgan over Chilwell as he's, quote, safer. Sterling ditch for Mkhitaryan. Barnes on the bench. Firmino kept over Vardy. Meh. So Roscoe, not as happy with his wildcard team as some of us are. But I think it sounds like you made some decent decisions, Roscoe, that could pay off later down the line. Like I went Morgan over Chilwell for the same reason.
Right.
Lest you forget, Morgan still got a clean sheet.
That's true.
So that's good. That's a silver lining.
Yeah, like they all got yellow cards. That was a weird. Every defender, like, I was like, I don't know who's going to get bonus points in this game because all of them got yellow cards.
I will also say about Mkhitaryan, it kind of feels nice to get this rest out of the way. Hopefully he'll. I still think he's going to be a fantastic FPL asset to have down the home stretch. Keep faith there.
I agree. Harbuzi on the Slack had a question about whether it was time to move on for Mkhitaryan. And I feel like we got the one rest out of the way. You know, like it was, you know, there was a good chance that there was going to be a rest at some point. I'd almost rather it come this week than, game week 35 or something like that. So, I just don't see him being rested that much. There's just not a lot of tread on the tires for him. He's like, 29 years old, hasn't played too much this year. I just don't know why you'd need to rest him more than this one week, so.
Is he single? I mean, you know how old he is? Do you know what his favorite video games are?
I know his blood type. I mean, when I transfer to player, Brendan, I learn everything.
Okay, so it's like if Mkhitaryan is ever convicted of a crime falsely, you can help him out by telling him what his blood type is.
Exactly. All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Game Week 33, the forgotten game week, I think we can safely call it. We're also going to talk about Harry Kane, Man City, and then we're going to do a lightning round of questions based around wild cards, chip strategies, and Game Week 34 strategies, too. So there's like no questions about Game Week 33, weirdly, even though it's the next game week.
I sincerely thought we were going to be done talking wild cards after
last week's
pod.
It's never
going to
be over. No. All right, let's take a quick break. Same old podcast,
always cheating. All right, Josh, we're back. And yes, Game Week 33, we are through the looking glass. It's weirdly like we've been here before. Liverpool have the early kickoff on Saturday. City have the late kickoff. Arsenal early on Sunday. Chelsea late on Sunday. We've been here before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have been here before. And it's all the same decisions, right? It's do you captain DeCamp and Sal. Okay, so the first thing I'll say here is we've got two teams playing very difficult Champions League matches, or playing each other actually in a difficult Champions League match in midweek. So until the Liverpool Man City game is over, I'm not planning to make a lot of decisions about this game week. You know, at least in terms of who I'm captaining and transfers even too, right? I mean, like, someone could go down with an injury or who knows. Also, I think, like, you know, Man City options, like, depending on who gets rested in that game, I mean, it could really determine, you know, I mean, I would even consider bringing in a second Man City player if, like, you know, if Leroy Sané was rested for the Liverpool game or didn't start for some reason, I would like him a lot more as an option for game week 33 and 35.
Oh, Sané, he's a good player, isn't he?
He is a good player. I remember asking you on Saturday morning, we were watching the matches, and I said, do you think he's a handsome man? And
you did ask me that.
And you really had to think about it. I think he's got a cool look. You know, I sound like someone's mom right now, but he's got a cool look.
Okay, yeah. I have, you caught me. I have looked at Leroy Sané and said, I'll put him in the top list of top five guys I'd most like to exchange bodies with.
Right. Have you really?
However, we've all seen his really terrible back tattoo of him celebrating a goal he's scored, which is just beyond the pale.
It's like a rather, right? Like, would you rather switch bodies, but you have to keep that back tattoo?
That's a good question.
So what sticks out to you about these matches? I mean, we mentioned before that there's a lot of similarities here. I mean, you know, who is your? I feel like we need to do a little talking about Game Week 33 here, because otherwise no one's going to talk about it. So who are your captain options going into 33?
Mo Salah, as you suggested, could be probably not a rotation risk given that's a Merseyside derby, so he's always on the list. But Spurs matchup against Stoke really jumps out at me here, and we have myriad options for captaincy. Dele Alli, he looked pretty good today against Chelsea.
Yep.
Heung-min Son, always an option. And then Harry Kane would be a great captaincy option, but who has Harry Kane in their team right now is the question for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, his ownership is still pretty high. I mean, I'm sure that you have a lot of dead teams there, but we're talking about 25% ownership. There's got to be a lot of active managers who I ran a poll last week asking people if they're going to keep or hold, and you know, a fair number said they were going to hold on to him. So I mean, if you have him in your team, I would definitely plan to captain him, right? I mean, I thought he looked, you know, very solid in the 20-25 minute run out that he had. I don't actually know if he took a shot on goal, but I thought he looked pretty good. We have a couple questions about Kane, and so, you know, the question then is, you know, if you don't have him, is it worth bringing him in, you know, right away? You know, especially because they do have a double in game week 34 too. So FPL Sniper says, you know, City in game week 34 is Kane really a must. So I mean, what do you think? Are you planning to bring in Kane? Is that on the table for you?
No, no, I'm not. It's just not possible. I brought in Aubameyang and Lukaku, both of them to play in 34. So there's no room for Kane.
Right.
Kane is only in my thinking for game week 37.
Yep.
And that's a triple captain option there. Yeah, it's going to be really tricky, particularly for us playing our free hits in 35. We're kind of losing a transfer through that. So, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's I don't know that it's worth bringing him in either. It is tricky. I mean, City will have played a lot more fixtures by then. They may have actually clinched the title by the time they play in that game as well. And they may be moving on to the Champions League semifinals by the time they play. It's all in game week 34. So, I mean, I guess it could be a weakened City team. I don't know. I mean, there's also a question here about Ryan King has the question about, you know, it's perhaps a good strategy the hokey cokey, you know, you bring him in, you bring him out, it's like you keep moving these like expensive defenders in and out. But I just think that's really, by the way, it's hokey pokey in America. So hokey cokey always throws me off. You know, it's really, how did cokey
turn? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out.
Exactly. So I think, has the hokey cokey ever really worked for you? Have you ever successfully pulled it off?
I think I did once last year with Zlatan.
Yeah.
I think I hokey-cokeyed him.
It's so tough. Yeah.
But you could say hokey-cokey with Kane, but even if you're doing that with Lukaku, there's still like 1 million plus price difference there. And like for a lot of us, that's a lot of money to just keep to the side so you can keep that hokey cokey going.
Yeah.
It's just a really hard thing to do budget wise with a player as expensive as Kane.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I think we've said this a few times. Like Kane, yes, he's on like 24 goals right now for the season.
Yeah.
Having a great season. That said, he hasn't looked great the last month or so. He's not been in good form. He's coming back from injury. We're talking about him on reputation alone. It's warranted for sure. We might be getting too excited here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just the historical Kane, right? Like what we saw at the end of last season. I mean, I do agree with you. I mean, it's been such a weird season for him because, like, as you said, he's on 24 goals. I mean, I think that leads all strikers. It's maybe five goals behind Salah now after his goal explosion in that Wofford game. But, you know, it's still within reach for him to win the Golden Boot for, what, the third year in a row? So, I do think I think you have to take that into consideration just historically how solid he is. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely come in bunches. I mean, it's a scary, you know, he's a scary player. I'm thinking about bringing him in on a free hit chip in 34. I probably will, but would I even captain him, you know, if I did? I'm not sure that I would. You know, you'd really be captaining him for that. So the 34 fixture for him is they're home to City and away to Brighton. So you'd really be captaining him for that Brighton fixture. And then hoping, I guess, that you got a goal in the City game, too.
Yeah. One suggestion on Slack from anyone is, with Kane back quicker than expected, are you planning to get him in? If so, what's the plan to facilitate his return? So which of your strikers would you drop for Kane if you're not free hitting like you are in 34? For what it's worth, anyone says, I'm planning Aubameyang to Kane in 34 with a downgrade in defense or mid to free up the funds. That's another hokey cokey thing. So I think we all brought in Aubameyang with the expectation that we keep him through the end of the season because we want him for game week 37 in particular.
Yeah.
I'm kind of depressed. I'm going to wait till 36, and when we get to the time for me to make that transfer for the doubles in 37, who's underperforming? Is it Aubameyang or is it Lukaku?
Yeah.
Best case scenario, Aubameyang and Lukaku are flying, and Kane is just kind of still not back in a great run of form, and I don't have to worry about it as much.
It's hard to see Aubameyang play today. I mean, I know that the first half he didn't do much, but man, like that second half, you just saw it was like Zlatan last year, right? I mean, just a natural striker, kind of score from anywhere. I mean, I know the first goal was a penalty, but that second goal was just a classic. Like it was just great reaction. Really should have had a hat trick, right? I mean, he very generously gave up that second penalty. It was a very nice thing to do. I was surprised that he did it because it's not a striker thing to do. But I mean, Lacazette.
What was most shocking to me is that anyone on that team even cares about Lacazette. He doesn't seem like he has any friends.
Oh, Lacazette seems all right.
Seems like a nice guy, but
yeah, I kind of like Lacazette.
He's had a terrible. He's just had a terrible time fitting in.
Yeah, he's a bad run of form. And I think you can blame Arsenal not having a midfield for that. I mean, Alexis Sanchez, like, didn't really try when he was there the first half of the season. And, I mean, Aaron Ramsey doesn't try to, like, pass the ball to anybody. It's a weird, like, watching that first half, it was like, I mean, I guess that's why Mkhitaryan has been so valuable and picked up so many assists already. It's like, there's just a lot of midfielders in Arsenal who don't, like, want to give anybody else the ball. Right? It feels like Ramsey and even Elneny, like these guys are all taking like outside the box like screamer attempts. I mean, and Ramsey, I was thinking about this when I was watching today. I feel like Aaron Ramsey, he plays the game the way that I am as an FPL manager. Like he has like the whole game, he has like his head in his hands, like he's, you know, like he's a very dramatic player. Like, I mean, it feels like he misses a lot of chances, or at least that he's very hard at himself. And he's like constantly like, you know, berating himself for not scoring some spectacular goal or whatever, or not getting a through ball that was too fast. I mean, I kind of like Ramsey, but yeah, I mean, it feels like this team needs people who can actually give the ball to their strikers. Yeah, it's a weird time for that team.
All right, so we made a good transition here. We're not super enthusiastic about Harry Kane right at this moment in time. Sounds like we're pretty big on Arsenal, Aubameyang in particular. Going back to game week 33, Arsenal home fixture to a very bad Southampton team.
Yeah.
Is Aubameyang not the best captain option in 33?
I really think he is. I'm really leaning towards captaining him at home to Southampton. I assume you're thinking the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that kind of short-termism thing. I wonder if by Friday night I'll remember all the good things that Salah has done this season, you know,
all of them.
As I said before, or, you know, a few minutes ago, like, we kind of have to wait until the Liverpool City game is over to make a captain choice, yep. You know? So, yeah, I mean, if Salah looks great and maybe he's subbed off in the 70th minute or something like that. I mean, Everton are terrible too, right? I mean, they just put, you know, I mean, Man City scored like the easiest three goals you'll ever see. Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, they were all really nice goals, but they were like, I feel like they could have scored even more if they were like really trying to like put the pressure on.
Yeah. I've got a dilemma for you, Josh.
All right.
I'm looking at my defense for game week 33.
Yeah.
I'm spoiled for choice here. Okay. So I have Alonso at home to West Ham. Mm-hmm. I have Mustafi at home to Southampton. Wes Morgan at home to Newcastle. Duffy at home to Huddersfield, and Ben Mee, he's away, but he's against a kind of mediocre Watford team. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea who to bench this game week. Just like, I feel like there's a lot of clean sheet shouts this weekend.
I think I would start Duffy at home to Huddersfield for sure. Right. And and I think I think you got to start Morgan as well. Right. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So that's two decisions right there. And then they got to play Alonso. So that's three. All done.
Really? I failed to mention that Fabianski, the keeper I brought in just for the bench boost, I have a temptation to play Fabianski in goal as opposed to David De Gea.
Yeah. I'm really on the fence about that one too, because I have Hennessy, and they're playing away to Bournemouth. And I feel like, I don't know. It's like, there is a feeling that maybe Mourinho, it just depends on
what. Don't say the phrase.
Yeah. I'm not going to say the phrase, but whether Mourinho really just plays for a nil-nil, you know, and just doesn't want City to clinch in the Manchester Derby, and they play for that. So that's the one thing that's holding me back a little bit. I don't know. I mean, the Man City or the Man United defense looked really good in 32 too. But I mean, does anybody keep Man City out? Like, does anybody stop them from scoring?
Yeah, particularly when the title is right there for the taking.
Exactly. So,
should we talk about Manchester United defense real quick and like what a disaster that is for FPL managers?
I know. I mean, it's kind of the story of the season, right? Which is that De Gea is your safest option, and if you can swing the money, then Valencia is a good option too. But that like central defense problem, it just feels like a total mess.
Yeah, we definitely shouted out Bailly on the podcast, and he was in my initial wild card spot. Yeah, and I'm not saying like it's our fault, I'm glad I dodged that bullet. Ultimately, I went for the tactic, which I do think that it is a good tactic at points in the season to double up on defense. Mm-hmm. But I was just feeling more diversify. I want to diversify my defense, and if I pick up one clean sheet, great.
Well, they're kind of expensive too. I mean, that's you know, like, yeah. I mean, you're at least 5.5 or thereabouts for any of those players. Maybe Smalling's a little bit cheaper, but he's probably up to 5. And then, what was weird is that Smalling then becomes the captain, right? So now Smalling's the captain. Does that mean, like, typically if you get the captain spot, it means you're a pretty consistent starter, right? So
I think that captaincy armband gets rotated around pretty consistently.
I thought I heard some rumor that he was like the captain for the rest of the season or something like that.
So, wow, maybe
that's what I read. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know,
they may be told Smalling he's not welcome back next season. So here, wear the captain's armband and don't ever come back after game week 30.
I guess so. Yeah, that was a little strange. So, I guess the only concern with De Gea is, does Marino do what he did last year, which is like the last 2 weeks of the season, like, I'm just going to play my second and third string goalkeepers, you know? Like, there was no reason not to play De Gea, and he just kind of did it to be nice, I guess, to the other keepers.
Leicester, Mahrez, a differential captaincy at home to Newcastle?
I'd almost rather go Vardy if we're just, if we're not thinking about our own teams here. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the Leicester game was definitely like a second or third screen game for us on Saturday. I know he got subbed off early. I feel like every time I looked over, I didn't see him. I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, it seems like, you know, I don't want to be too short term about this. So, yeah, he's been very solid all year. I mean, it's Newcastle's defense is okay, I guess. It's not like spectacular. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's definitely an option, especially if you want to be different. But I feel like even like someone like Mkhitaryan would be like an interesting differential option instead of Mahrez. So, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be like in my top three or four, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to get to a lot of these other teams as we go through listener questions. So should we tackle some questions here?
Yeah. So we already talked about Kane. We've got some Man City questions as well. You know, the Man City thing is really tricky because just as a refresher, so Man City, they play Man United and Spurs in the next two matches. So a lot of people on their wild card didn't really load up on City. You know, they also have the two legs of the Champions League with Liverpool, and then obviously more if they win. But they are a team that has a game week 35 fixture, and it's a home fixture to Swansea. So, you know, it's like if you can figure out the right player to bring in, I mean, you could be looking at, you know, a surefire captain option for game week 35, you know, along with kind of anyone in Arsenal, I suppose. And then they play West Ham away, and then they play Huddersfield and Brighton in game week 37. And then away to Southampton. So, I mean, their run of fixtures, once they've already clinched the title, are fantastic, assuming they do that, which they will, right, because they're like 3 points away from clinching. It's an amazing run of fixtures, but, I mean, you know, can you really trust anybody on that team to consistently start? And so, you know, Adam P. says, is Jesus a viable option if Aguero looks to be rested for the Champions League? What do you think about Jesus?
I like Jesus. I think he seems like a cool guy. We were talking that he looks like he's experienced some trauma in his life.
He looks
just
wounded.
Has that sort of wounded boyish look on his face.
Yeah.
We learned this lesson earlier in the season when both Jesus and Aguero were fit and healthy. It was just too difficult to judge that rotation,
right.
Specifically that striker rotation. And it wasn't a one-on-one-off for either of them. Aguero would start three, and then Jesus would come in and start the fourth.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I think it's too risky.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, Aguero wasn't necessarily rested. He was injured, right? I mean, I think he was still kind of recovering, so which just makes it even more complicated, right? Because if he was fully healthy, would he have started? Possibly, you know, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's really tough to know. I mean, I actually like Jesus for the double game weeks, in game week 37. I think that, he's probably worth the risk there. He's not super expensive, right? I mean, he's just a flat 10 million, which is actually like a pretty affordable price, you know? I mean, compared to some of the other top strikers, I mean, even Aubameyang is going to be like, what, over 11 million by the time game week 37 rolls around, he's going to be like 11.3 or something like that, I bet.
All right. Next question on Man City is Yogi Bear 37, who asks, how are we on the whole Sterling and City boat now? Sterling sure looked fresh again, or is Sané now the new City asset we want? Also, Yogi Bear is looking at our thoughts on Lukaku. So maybe we can talk about Lukaku after we talk about Sané and Sterling.
Yeah, let's save. So, yeah, it feels like it's impossible not to talk about Lukaku for 30 minutes. So we'll table that for now.
I think Sané probably looked the better of the two, but that's really splitting hairs because I thought they both looked terrific.
Yeah.
And they're both fit and firing.
Yeah. And, you know, the FPL Stag had a similar question. He said, you know, a scale of one to the number of points David Silva is going to score in the next 3 weeks. How foolish were we to offload City players en masse? Okay. So the thing about this is you do have to, you know, like you can't overload yourself in city. I mean, okay, like it was easy for me to keep a city player because I wasn't going to transfer one out, obviously. But I mean, you know, over the course of 38 weeks, you can deal with players sitting out. You know, when there's 6 or 7 weeks left in the season, you know, if you lose two fixtures, you're losing a lot. You know, I mean, unless your bench is just so rock solid that it doesn't matter. But you know, and then you just don't want to invest 8 or 9 million in a midfielder or 10, 11 million in a striker if you don't think that they're going to start every match. You know, so I mean, you know, I was like anxious for the clean sheet as anybody was, partially because I didn't want Sterling to play because I knew I had nine for Milivojevic on my bench. But I mean, you just really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I guess Kevin De Bruyne is the only safe option, but then you know, then he has 10.4 million. And he's also like a little off form, right? I mean, one assist in the last four games. That's it.
His goal output has fallen off the face of a cliff, which is really worrying if you're thinking about KDB for your FPL team. So I do agree. I'm just choosing not to worry about City until game week 37.
Right. But 35, because, I mean, if you're free hit chipping in 35, you're probably going to bring in some players, right?
Correct. So the free hit in 35... I feel like that will be the easiest, hopefully the easiest City team to pick, because I will just be picking City assets for 1 week and I will presumably have all the information I need at hand as far as who's been rested, who's been playing 90 minutes, you know, in the league and in Europe and all that.
Yeah. You can kind of do like a starting 11 style squad there, right? Where you just like, it's like a daily fantasy thing where you could literally bring in three City defenders, right?
Right.
For 1 week, I mean, at home to Swansea. Yeah. You know, you could bring in Kyle Walker, Ederson, and you know, Otamendi or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel like the David Silva conundrum, it was a discussion really worth having earlier in the season. But now, given how few weeks are left, like you're saying, every week counts, and you can't have a player rotated, there are plenty of decent midfielders that can cover a David Silva type point spread. So it's not like you have to have this one specific guy to get you through the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, double fixture, you know, he's on 8, 9, 16, and 11 in the last 4 weeks. So he's in great form for sure. You know, and he actually missed a lot of time, because of, you know, the personal life stuff. So, so I do wonder if maybe he is a slightly safer option because he just, I mean, I don't know, I guess there's the emotional toll. I don't know. I want to get into all the civil stuff, but, you know, you do wonder if like maybe he's like his legs are a little bit fresher. And so he's maybe a little more likely to play more minutes. I don't know. I mean, it's, like you said, it's just, is it worth the risk? I don't know. I mean, I think, it's definitely worth the risk to have at least one or two in game week 37, but I wouldn't worry about it until then.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Particularly if you have no wild card or free hit to play and you need somebody for 35.
Yep. Razzy Boy had a question about the Manchester Derby. He says, will Man United be men at home and come out to play? It's almost like he's trying to intimidate them into playing them. Or will they continue to be the aggressive turtles we've come to see under Busmaster Mu? We talked about this a minute ago. I mean, why would you expect Mourinho to change now? You know, like, yeah. Of course he's going to like, I don't know. I mean, but again, like, can they really,
I'm just laughing at this phrase, regressive turtles.
Yeah, exactly. It's an apt, metaphor. I don't know. I just don't really, why would you expect them to be? Also, why is that like the right strategy? I mean, you know, like, has anybody like really come at City and come out of it, you know, like without like a massive loss on their hands? I mean, if you like try to play City's game, they will crush you. You know, it's not, I mean, it doesn't matter how good your team is. Like, you're not as good as City. So, I mean, I guess Liverpool was the one team that was able to do it. Yeah. And even then it almost backfired, right? Because you know, they were at home, they went up 4-1, City scored two goals. They almost scored a third. I mean, it could have been a 4-4 draw, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, they're like the one team that can do it. So I guess the only argument, for Man United being able to do something in that match is, you know, if that City Liverpool game at midweek is like a real, like, you know, back and forth, like some players get some knocks, you know, I don't know, like that could do it, but I just feel like for a derby, they're going to be up for it.
Yeah. Should we talk about everyone else Since we're talking about the Derby, maybe we can now talk about Lukaku.
Okay, sure.
So we have a question here from Siddhant Bhatia, who says, for some strange reason, I have Eden Hazard. Should I sell him? If yes, for whom? Or stick it out? So Hazard, he didn't look super awesome against Spurs. He looks a little aimless right now. Like, he's not really playing with the team.
Yeah, I didn't feel like he was linking out. There's like a moment where he did like one of his like trademark runs into the box, then laid it off for nobody. I don't know if you saw that. It was near the when they're, I think it was when they're down 3-1 and trying to come back in. And
that was. As an Alonso owner, I watched a couple of breaks in which Alonso was pretty wide open on the left and Hazard just refused to pass it to him.
Yeah.
And Alonso gave him the whole, hey, dude, why don't you pass it to me face? And then the one time Hazard actually tries to pass it to Alonso.
He's like 20 yards behind him. I was actually like...
It's the one time he's playing defense the entire game.
I know. I was not surprised to see Alonso subbed. I thought that might happen, actually. You know, just it wasn't his match. I mean, he had that offside goal in the first half too. I think the short answer is you just can't sell Hazard now. I mean, not before a home match to West Ham and a double game week playing Southampton and Burnley. I mean, you know, he's a captain option in game week 34. I mean, maybe not the number one or two, but you know, I mean, he could always go off for double fixture returns. You know, so. I think that you just gotta like ride it out with him now.
Yeah, the assumption is you already have Salah, but even still, I totally agree. The fixtures line up too nicely for you to jump ship already.
I think there's an argument for dumping him. Like, let's say you're not free hit chipping in game week 35 and you have Hazard. I think you could dump him then. I don't know that you need him for the game week 37 doubles. I think there's enough other quality midfielders that you could bring in. I mean, you could even look at. You know, I mean, you could look at obviously all the Man City players. You could look at Alexis Sanchez, Riyad Mahrez. I mean, there's just a host of, you know, all of the, you know, Son and all the other Spurs defenders. So, you know, but I wouldn't drop him before game week 35.
Another Chelsea question from FPL Tornado. What to do with Chelsea assets now that they may be prioritizing the FA Cup with top four out of sight? So, the logic here being with the loss against Spurs today, we're recording on Sunday, the probability of them making top four, it's virtually impossible. This idea of prioritizing things keeps coming up now. Yeah. And I think that we might be overthinking that, even with Manchester City. They're still playing for like a zillion records.
Yeah.
In the Premier League. Yeah. I don't see them pulling their foot entirely off the gas. Same thing with Chelsea. Prioritizing the FA Cup, that's the only midweek fixture that Chelsea will have. And these guys can play midweek. They did it in the Champions League. I don't see a huge amount of crazy rotation, particularly for the heavy hitters like Hazard. Or even Alonso, I don't think.
Yeah, I do feel like we were both like, I mean, I don't think either of us are big Willian supporters. Just like, neither of us just are on the Willian train. I know that his stats are good, but I'm not a fan. I can't explain it. I'm just not, he was never an option I looked at for this game week. I don't think, I mean, you talked about him just a little bit, I think. Like, was he ever in a wild card draft for you?
He was. I mean, to be clear, and I almost said jokingly at the top that I like Pascal Gross more than I do Willian. I mean, if it was a one-on-one basketball game, so to speak, Willian is almost undoubtedly the better player.
Sure.
I think Willian is really great. He's really fun to watch when he's in form. Mm-hmm. But I think what you and I agree on is he'll just disappear for a month.
Right.
I mean, Hazard will do the same thing. I don't know if it's something about the DNA there at Chelsea, but just as I was looking at my wild card, I was thinking, yeah, Willian, he's good from week to week, but he's never been an FPL asset that delivers consistently.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was in so many teams at the start of the season when Hazard was injured, and he did virtually nothing.
Yeah.
So he has moments of brilliance, but he just can't put a consistent run together.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think about City? Like, I mean, is it foolish to read too much into Chelsea's performance against Spurs? I mean, Spurs looked really like up for it today. Obviously, you know, Chelsea have West Ham, and they have a they have two double game weeks coming up. I mean, if you were wildcarding right now, would you still advocate for Alonso, or are you starting to feel like maybe that's like too much money to have invested in someone who really they really haven't kept a lot of clean sheets, like going back to going back almost 10 game weeks.
Yeah, the fixtures are really just too tempting after Spurs. West Ham at home, Southampton, Burnley. You're right, they have had trouble keeping clean sheets. I mean, their central defense, Christensen, was just a disaster, I think, against Spurs. Mm-hmm. It's tough, and I think ultimately I chose to go with Alonso because of his, I mean, it's obvious, because of his attacking prowess. The other idea was to go for Aspilicueta, but then, yeah, exactly as you say, I'm thinking I can't really count on clean sheets from Chelsea, so why don't I risk the fact that they could get some clean sheets and take the best attacker of the bunch? And I think Alonso is still probably worth the money, assuming he does get at least one goal and or some attacking return in the next three games.
I
mean, weeks.
He is as much an attacking player as Willian. Right. I mean, I feel like he's in the box more than Willian is. A lot of goal threat there, super dangerous, and he gets you clean sheets. I mean, I think you're right about, he's the one player you'd want on that team. I mean, I guess you can make an argument for Christensen too. I think that there are some clean sheets, and he's pretty consistently, like, he's kind of earned that spot. So, I mean, I like, it's hard for me to advocate for Christensen because he, like, kind of destroyed my team this season. Like everything that went wrong with my personal fantasy team involved the Morata. It was like Morata has, like, the entire team, really. It's just like
Aspilicueta was a problem for you for,
like,
a while.
I moved from, like, I went for Aspilicueta over Alonso, and then I was like, Aspilicueta's not working, I needed more money, and so I went for Christensen, and then Christensen, like, somehow missed, like, 4 out of 5 clean sheets, and then Alonso, like, went off, and then I finally brought in Alonso on my wild card, and, it's been, like, a bunch of, like, it's been binary code for him since, where it's all, like, ones and zeros. So it's just, like, a weird, like, it's just been a weird time to have any of those players. I mean, Morata, like, scores a goal today, and it's like, oh, was he an option? I'm like, no, I don't want, I don't trust anybody in this team. I don't trust Hazard. I don't trust Morata. I don't trust Willian. I don't trust the Chelsea defenders to keep clean sheets. I trust that Alonso can get some attacking returns. It's like the only thing I trust on this team. But I have to say, I'm planning to free hit Champions Gaming 34. I'm not sure I'm going to have a single Chelsea player. I mean, maybe one, but I just don't have a lot of faith in
them. They were starting to look quite jaded out there against Spurs in the second half. And I do have a concern that Conte just blows the whole thing up.
He's gone anyway. Once everything, right? There's no way he's back next year.
Yeah. How about another question?
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more everything else question here. How about Jabran Chada's question, Brandon? I says, is it worth bringing Vardy in a wild card, or is it better to invest that money in an upper tier midfield option? It's a good question.
Well, so. Yeah, it is a good question, and you know how I feel based on how I played my wild card. I explained this earlier. I decided to just stick with Mahrez. He's expensive enough where I think that's just plenty of Leicester attacking coverage. It's harder to say that a week after a match in which Vardy scores and Mahrez does nothing.
Right, yeah.
But I think just the evidence we have over the last, 6 or so weeks is that Mahrez is bringing in more attacking returns. He's my favorite asset.
He definitely gets more bonus points. I mean, that's, it's amazing because Vardy actually has scored 6 goals in the last 8 weeks, but no double-digit returns in any of those fixtures. He's actually only picked up 4 bonus points in that stretch. I mean, for a striker, strikers are sort of like, just the way that the bonus point system works, strikers are sort of, like, if you score a goal, you often get bonus points, at least one. I mean, like, Firmino, often plays these matches where there's 4 goals, and all he picks up is 1 goal, and he's still on 2 or 3 bonus because, you get 24 bonus points just for scoring the goal, and then if you're doing anything else in the match, like, if you complete some passes and, play 90 minutes, like, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get a bonus point.
Yeah, so. And he never gets tackled. His pass completion percentage is always really high, too.
Yeah.
This begs the question is, what are the what's the ideal front three? I mean, I would have had Vardy in for Ashley Barnes were I able to afford him.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't make it work, so I ended up with Ashley Barnes.
Yeah.
So here comes another car getting stolen.
The ideal front three question is a very difficult question to answer because, you know, it's like there's this like holistic view that you can take where you're starting in game week 33 and looking through the end of the season. You know, and in that case, you probably want to pick players who all had double game weeks or had, you know, multiple double game weeks in 34 and 37. But there are individual game weeks where someone like Roberto Firmino is a great option, right? I mean, home to Stoke in game week 36, you know, way to West Brom in game week 35. So, you know, it depends on whether you're a free hit. So I think it's, you know, the Vardy, Lukaku, Aubameyang seem like they'd be three of the top four options to me, you know, like they're right up there. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's the cheaper bracket too, I guess.
Yeah. The issue with the, non-holistic view, Josh, I think is that we are now counting down the number of transfers we have left, and
right.
and pretty much every one of them is going to count. And that's the trick with the late wild card is to bring in guys that you're not going to have to transfer out unless you plan to. So I think that's the idea behind not just going week to week, because the more hokey cokey you do with your front line, the less you can do transform midfield assets from the double in 34 to say Man City players in 37. So that's what I would add to that.
The other problem with the free hit chip is that, you know, you can't bank a transfer free hit chip and then have two transfers going to the next game week. So I'm in a situation right now where I would actually kind of like to bank a transfer. I don't have like a clear and obvious move going to this fixture. Yeah. But it's like I have to use it or lose it, you know? So I'm going to find a transfer to make. Like, I'm sure my team can definitely be improved, or I can make a move, you know, looking ahead to 37 or something. So yeah, it's very complicated.
You can't bank a transfer, nor can you really, you can't even make a transfer. You like lose a week with the free hit. Like I can't make a transfer going into my free hit that I'm going to have when I come out of it. So it's tricky. Like exactly.
You can't like make a transfer and then 2 days later play your free hit. So yeah, it is tricky.
I mean, the other forward line question that we still have no answer for, it was the hot debate, probably the lasting debate on Friday night before I shut my laptop down, was Ashley Barnes or Wood for Burnley. Mm-hmm. And we still have no answer to that question.
Both. Better. I guess they're both fine.
Get them both.
Yeah, I mean, Barnes got the yellow card, which probably cost him. I guess he still finished on one bonus point, and Wood got the game-winning goal. So I guess Wood takes this round.
Yeah, well played, Wood.
All right, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our final section. We're going to do a lightning round about the double game weeks and the chips.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
A quick word, Josh, about our friends at Starting 11. Big announcement. Cash games were made live in the UK, but now cash games in the US and Canada are available through the Starting 11 app. Just go to your iOS or Android app store today to download Starting 11, and you can play for cash on your iPhone or Android phone any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches happening. And Starting 11 is gearing up for the World Cup this summer. So when the Premier League stops, the fun at Starting 11 does not stop. Speaking of fun, Josh, we had some challenges this weekend. We had a prize pack up for grabs. Who is the big winner?
The big winner is Peter Gray, who is someone that we'd never really talked to before. I think he might have actually downloaded Starting 11 for the contest. So the contest works, Brandon. The system works. We got people
just want free stuff.
We got people interested. And so Peter, I think he finished on 230 points on Saturday. I ended up playing some matches on Saturday and Sunday. I won half and lost half of my matches. So I'll take that. But thank you to everyone that reached out. You know, as we said before, we're going to be playing, every weekend, and, we're going to continue to do giveaways. We're going to do giveaways now. We're also talking about giveaways for the World Cup. So, lots of, really, really cool stuff to come. So you can learn more about the app. Go to starting11.io, and that's starting11.io, to learn more about cash games in your state or in your country. But the the games that we're playing against with these head-to-heads, these are all just free matches. So you can test out the app, see if it's a good fit for you, which we hope it will be. We think it will be. And then go from there. You can download it on iOS or Android, and challenge us is easy. You can just send us a direct message or an email, and we'll give us your email address, and then we'll just send you an invite. And then when you open the app, you see the invite right there on the app itself. So very simple process.
It's so simple. Yeah, as you say, you can also play for free. You could just play with your friends if you're watching the games and you want to have a little second screen experience. The app is beautiful. You can make teams on the fly with no budget restrictions, live substitutions while you're watching the game.
Yep.
So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually had to make a couple big subs today because I had Mkhitaryan and I had Peter Cech in my team too, so I had to make some late. Yeah. Was that Cech news? Was that? Did anybody know that he was injured? Did I totally miss that?
I missed it too. So
yeah.
The cool thing about starting 11 though is when the team sheets come out, you can shift people around, and that doesn't count against your live substitutions.
Exactly. So I was able to switch over to Ospina, and I racked up that clean sheet. So. Definitely like a fun feature that you can't do in the regular fantasy game. So, once again, starting11.io to learn more, or just Google's, what's it called when you search for something on your phone? I guess you don't Google it. You just search.
You Bing it.
Yeah, search in the App Store on your phone for Starting 11. You'll find it there. If you have any problems, they have great customer service.
You were going to say, search in the App Store for the Bing app, download the Bing app, and then within the Bing app, search for Starting 11 and pop up.
That's also a viable way to go. But you can also just search in the app. And I know we've had a couple people who had some questions for, for their customer service folks. And they responded all those super fast and gotten through it. So, starting11.io. And, challenge us to a match this weekend.
Let's finish things off here with a lightning round, shall we, Joshua?
I think we shall, yeah. And I think it should be a true lightning round because I actually hear a baby crying in the background, so...
Oh, okay.
I know.
All right, we'll make it fast. First question here, we're going to answer in 30 seconds or less, 100% correct answer. Jeff Petter asks, actually, a new question. If I want to go Maverick on my wild card, miles behind, template won't catch me up kind of scenario, which player should I target? After today, I'm thinking Dele Alli is worth a shout as an example.
I think Alexis Sanchez stands out as an interesting option. It seems like he might be finally coming into form a little bit. They have two doubles. They're both pretty good doubles. They play Arsenal at home in Game Week 36, which I'm really excited about because I don't know what's going to happen in that game from Sanchez. I would stay away from Southampton entirely. I think you could definitely look at Dele Alli.
And we talked about Hazard a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Hazard is an option if you want to be different. I mean, it comes with the risk that we've already talked about. I think Hazard, it seems like he's kind of in that category of like the De Bruyne category where he's just, if he's healthy, he's playing.
Yeah. Right. Next question is from Peter Gray.
Hey, the winner of the Slack.
Peter, you just popped up here like you knew your ears were burning. And now Peter has a question here on the pod. So congrats to you, Peter. Now your question is a free hit in 34, triple captain in 37, and a bench boost in a random game week, a viable option. Don't have my wild card after 31, so working with what I have left. I like this logic. I've certainly considered it. I'm thinking even I could play my bench boost in game week 33. I was talking earlier about how I feel like I have a lot of good defender matchups in my squad. So the question is really, how many points do you want to get off your bench boost chip? And then the rest is sort of up to you regarding the week.
Yeah, I mean... it's interesting the strategy. I mean, yeah, if you felt like you had really good clean sheet options and maybe your fifth midfielder or whatever in a particular game week could get you some points, then I think a bench boost in a random game week could work out because maybe you pick up, Well, you have the goalkeeper too. So let's say you pick up 15 points. That would be considered an extremely good return for like a triple captain, right? If you picked up an extra 15 points as a triple captain, I think you'd be pretty happy with that return. So,
yes.
You know, maybe that's too ambitious. How often do you actually get clean sheets from every defender in your squad? It's not that common. But as to a specific question, I do think that a free hit in 34 makes a lot of sense because you can bring in players maybe you don't want to have like on a permanent basis, like Chelsea players. and the triple captain 37. Yeah, so I think there's so many different ways to do it. I'm not sure that there are really. You talked about template at the beginning of the podcast, but as far as when you use these chips, it doesn't feel as template to me. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah. No. Yeah, totally. There has been no template that has truly emerged that maybe it's bench boost 34, free hit 35, triple captain 37 is the template. But all the questions we get, everyone is just slightly different, which makes a lot of fun.
Yep.
I think the double game weeks always come into it with the chips. We were talking about this at the bar yesterday morning. It's just you're improving the percentage of you actually getting more points from playing these chips.
Right.
If you have a double game week, there's just the odds are more in your favor. It's like gambling.
I think I was in the midst of one of my whiny rants about how it's all just luck, and I think that was part of it. Like, I was like, oh, it's all just risk management. You know, it's like I was having one of my ranty modes.
Right.
All right, the next question is about Vardy, Kane versus Lukaku for the captain. This is from FPL Fredo. Kane versus Lukaku for the captain in game week 34. Who's the best pick? I wouldn't limit it to those two, but let's say that we did. I mean, you don't have Kane, so is Lukaku, in your opinion, the best game week 34 captain?
Yeah, I think he is. The fixtures are the best. West Brom at home, and then Bournemouth, who can't keep a clean sheet to save their lives. The City fixture is the one that sticks out for Spurs.
Yeah.
It is the real problem. So, if Sanchez continues to perform, it's just one match that we had to go on in terms of talking about Sanchez's form. But
right.
Maybe he's a contender. Though, odds of anyone listening to this podcast having Sanchez in their team, pretty slim. So, to answer the question, Lukaku.
If you're free hitting in 34, which I, as I've said like eight times already in the podcast, I'm thinking about doing, or probably going to do, I would definitely look at Sanchez as a captain option there. It's just that you can't. I don't want him for the rest of the season. Yeah, I don't trust him at all. You know, but for 2 weeks, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the problem is he's probably not going to do very much away to City, so you're not going to have a lot to go on there. If you're not overthinking it, I think Lukaku is the best option.
Yeah, okay. Next question comes from Mr. Harville. If you don't have a wild card to get a full set of double game week players in 34, is it best to use the triple captain versus the bench boost? If so, who's the best triple captain for 34? We just answered the last part of that question. But so for the sake of argument, if we're talking about triple captain versus bench boost, I definitely late in my wild card strategizing came around to the it's better to bench boost in 34. Mm-hmm. There are fewer double game weeks, double game teams to choose from.
Yep.
But I have much more control over who I think is definitely going to be playing in game week 34.
Yeah.
I can manage that much better. If I'm trying to keep my team intact up to the doubles in 37, I'm probably going to lose a few players between now and then.
Yeah.
As far as the bench boost. So if I play it in 34, I'm also taking away that pressure of fielding 15 players in 37. I just have to worry about 11.
Yep. I think that's what I would have done too if I was wild card. And I think that just, it's easier to set your team up for a bench boost than it is for, I mean, triple captain, you can just kind of have a player who's got a double, you know? I mean,
Just throw something against the wall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whenever I bench boost, I'm not going to be ideally set up for it. You know, there's just no way. There's never going to be a time when I'm going to have like a full 15 players. You know, that's why the wild card in game week 36 is an interesting idea. But we talked about this already. You just miss all of those other game weeks. But I guess if you haven't used it yet, then maybe that is the time to use it. The final question for this week's podcast, Brandon, is, why ranging podcast, right? I feel like we've talked about a lot. I don't know how we talked about so much, considering how much ground we've already covered in previous podcasts. It feels like we've really We're digging in that ground.
This episode is like an FPL symposium of sorts.
So Jeremiah Johnson says, what is the safe number of players for game week 35?
11. not to be a smartass about it, but
let's look at, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, 9, 10 maybe. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, I mean, you know, you just need the right players, you know. Yeah. I mean, and then if your filler is your filler, you know, it's sort of these players that you hope do something. So
we need the right players. Exactly. Go back and look at what happened in 31. All you needed was to captain Mo Salah, who scores 29 points, and you basically didn't need any other players to sort of survive. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, there's always the margins, you know. It just sort of depends. I know Jeremiah is personally having a pretty good season, so I think you're right. Just have, so who would the right players be in game week 35? I mean, you need some Arsenal players, need some City players, maybe some Liverpool players.
I mean, Palace and Watford could be interesting. That could be that match could be full of goals, so maybe you're mm-hmm. looking to target Watford attack and Crystal Palace attack.
Yep. Milivojevic stands out as another option there, right? I could definitely see Watford concede. I mean, at this point, I just expect Crystal Palace to get a penalty in every single game. Like, somehow.
He's scored 7 penalties, and I think he's taken 8 this season. It's incredible.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm looking at game week 33, and I don't know how I can not start him. You know, I mean, you know, away to Bournemouth. I mean, couldn't you see Bournemouth conceding a penalty in that game? Like, I can for
two
sure,
or three.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So, I think 9 is the lowest I'd want to be. I mean, there's just too many. It's not like game week 31 where there was nothing. Like, there are like good teams with good fixtures in 35. So you really have to be loaded up, and you know, it's probably worth burning. I mean, especially, you know, burning points for some of those players, I think, is actually okay too, because, you know, if you burn points for players that have a double game week in 37, then you're just kind of doing that move a week or two early. Yeah. Right?
My free hit is going to be hilarious. It's going to be 3 Arsenal players, 3 City players, 3 Liverpool players, and then some fodder.
Yeah. Arnautovic, you know, maybe. I don't know. Yep. He looks good.
He does. Yeah, that was a couple of very nice goals he scored over the weekend. But what is going on at Southampton? My God.
That's weird. And, yeah, well, it was kind of a weird match for – I mean, I thought about going Walcott to Arnautovic going into that fixture, but I really didn't like, West Ham's fixtures like for the next several game weeks. I mean, basically, that was their good fixture. You know, now it's – I mean, I guess they play Stoke in 34. But it's, Chelsea, which is not a double. They play away to Chelsea, away to Arsenal, away to Man City, away to Leicester, home to Man United. You know, they don't really have a good fixture again until game week 38. So outside of the Stoke in 34. So, he just didn't seem like an ideal option given those tough fixtures. But he's kind of in his own weird way, he's like kind of fixture proof, isn't he? Because he's kind of when he's like in form, he can kind of score on anybody. You know, he's very talented. He's just he can like be like a little in and out of form.
Yeah, he's like the really gifted kid in the high school who also is very troubled, and he's involved in some low level crime, and his parents are in a really bad situation. But some teacher like David Moyes comes along.
Right.
And gets the best out of him.
Yeah, I know.
teaches him that Shakespeare was the original Tupac.
Yeah. But I'm calling it here, Brandon. He is going to score away to Arsenal in game week 35. That is my early prediction. I don't make a lot of predictions in this podcast, but I think he's going to destroy my Mustafi clean sheet in game week 35.
Can I double or nothing there? So astute listeners will remember we bet $1 on Boney scoring what, 10 goals this season?
Five
goals. A goal.
I didn't think he would score more than 5 goals.
I want a double or nothing. The Arnautovic scores against Arsenal. I will say that he won't score.
Okay. All right. Double or nothing. Maybe I will. I didn't think he ever gave me that dollar. So, yeah, this is kind of a no-lose situation here, Brandon.
Listen, it's on the books. I don't have to pay
it's
you yet.
It's the 49 buck cup right now, you know, so we'll see. Right. Yeah. So how did Boney's out for the rest of the season, right? So he finished on 2 goals. Poor Boney. I mean, I seems like a nice guy, but I had no faith that he could do anything. He's just too old and fat. So he gave up. He moved to City and just gave up. I mean, it's, you know, he seems like a nice guy, but he happens in baseball all the time, where these guys get these huge contracts and they just like blow up, like put on a bunch of weight and, you know, stop contributing.
I think that's the perfect note to end the podcast on. So we'll sign off now. If you want to support the podcast and get involved in those leagues we were bigging up at the start of the podcast, go to patreon.com/always cheating. Helps to offset the cost that we incur with hosting the pod, putting up the website, doing the SoundCloud, and all that sort of thing. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Josh, where else can people find us?
You can find us on SoundCloud. Just search for Always Cheating there. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Twitter, we're twitter.com/hailcheaters. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. Or you can just go to alwayscheating.com for the podcast, for information about the Slack, for information about how to contact us, and lots of other stuff too, I'm sure. It's all sorts of a blog stuff that is occasionally updated. So lots of good stuff.
Once a year. Great. All right. Good luck to everyone in Game Week 33, as you call it, Josh, the forgotten game week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So let's hope for some drama here. You know, it's I want something crazy to happen. I want Stoke to score like 5 goals on Spurs or something. Like just something weird.
A reason to remember Game Week 33.
Yeah, let's get nuts. Come on.
All right. Hail Sorloth.
Yep. And hail everyone that we've ever hailed on this podcast.
Bye.
Bye.